Hi, this is Aislinn Antrim from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus Student Edition, a podcast series dedicated to pharmacy students. This month, we have a unique episode. In the first part, I spoke with first-year pharmacy student Katrina Zierli to learn about why and how she wrote a children's book about pharmacy. In the second half of the episode, I spoke with David Hughes and Jason Mordino, hosts of the podcast Precept Responsibly, to hear about their show and why precepting is so important. So, Katrina, to get started, can you introduce yourself?
Of course. My name is Katrina Zierli, as you said. I'm a student at the University of Arizona. I recently graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Pharmaceutical Sciences and a minor in Spanish. I'm an incoming P1 at their pharmacy school. And during my time at the University of Arizona, during my undergrad, I've had the opportunity to publish, it's now two, independent and self-published books, one of which is my children's book that we'll be discussing today.
Wonderful. What inspired you to write a children's book about pharmacy?
Well, I've noticed that I did a little bit of research and there really aren't many children's books about pharmacy. Not ones that even like describe the job or what we do, but more so just like using the profession to figure out math. Like, can you count how many pills are in this picture? And I've noticed even in my own pharmacy and my own work, a lot of patients, not even children, but sometimes adults will come in and they don't really understand what it is that we do. So I figured that if I could write a book about it and my experience and from what I've learned, I can teach others about what we do and why we're so important to the world of healthcare.
Absolutely. Can you kind of give an overview of the book? What is it? What does it teach? What do you know? If a kid is reading this, what do they get to read?
Yeah, absolutely. So this general story follows a young girl who wakes up and finds that she doesn't feel well, and she doesn't really know what's going on. But her parents decide to take her to the doctor, who eventually gives her a prescription, and they head to the pharmacy. But once in the pharmacy, she's kind of wondering, well, there's so many questions I have for the pharmacist, and I need to know what's going on here because, you know, it's just a pharmacy. I don't know what's going on. So she asks the pharmacist a whole bunch of questions, and the pharmacist goes into detail about what it is that we do, how we are critical to the world of healthcare, not just the middleman that dispenses medications, and how there's so many opportunities in pharmacy that is not just retail, but the entire world. It also rhymes. Oh, that was fun too.
Absolutely. That always makes it fun to read. Kind of as you alluded to, when we ask kids what they want to be, a lot of the times they'll say firefighter or president or an astronaut. Why do you think pharmacists should really be on that list?
Well, from my own experience as a child, you know, when you're growing up, you don't really know how many jobs are out there. And the pharmacist role is absolutely critical to any job that you could have. I particularly enjoy all the aspects of pharmacy, that it's from the small details of drug interactions to the bigger details of patient interaction. And that's super beneficial to just public health. Definitely, I didn't even know that I wanted to be a pharmacist, but I think that even writing this book was really locked it in for me.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, speaking of your plans for being a pharmacist, what are your plans?
So I'm hoping that pharmacy school kind of like helps me figure out what role of pharmacy that I want to be in, because there's just so many. I'm currently in retail as a technician, but maybe I don't think that's where I'm going to stay. I would like to try hospital, possibly ambulatory, because I know there's so many aspects of pharmacy that even I only briefly discussed in the book, but I know that there's so much more and so much opportunity for me. So I'll see where pharmacy school takes me.
For the last year or so, we've featured monthly financial wellness tips from Tim Ulbrich, founder of Your Financial Pharmacist. Now we want to turn towards mental health and specifically burnout. Each month, I'll speak with Jessica Louie, host of the Burnout Doctor podcast and an expert on healthcare workers' burnout, to learn more about this important issue and how pharmacy students can combat it.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to your monthly Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Jessica Louie, host of the Burnout Doctor podcast. Today, we are answering, what is burnout and how is it different from stress? Well, burnout is a syndrome characterized by exhaustion, cynicism, and decreased self-efficacy. When we're exhausted, we may be displaying physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual symptoms. When we're experiencing cynicism, we may be depersonalizing things and having a negative viewpoint. When we're experiencing decreased self-efficacy, we may have a low sense of personal accomplishment. Now, I'm often asked, is stress the same thing as burnout? They're actually different. Stress is this mental and emotional experience, and burnout is a result of prolonged exposure to stress. The longer you are exposed to chronic stress, the more difficult it is for our parasympathetic system to turn it off once the stress is over. So we want to catch ourselves in the stress phase before it turns into burnout. Now, how can we compare stress to burnout? When we're in the stress phase, we're typically over-engaged and have this sense of urgency or hyperactivity. And as we transition into burnout, we have this disengagement and sense of helplessness. When we're in the stress phase, we typically have this lost or diminished energy level. Maybe you're reaching for another cup of coffee or wanting to take a nap in the afternoon. Whereas when we transition into burnout, we have this lost or diminished sense of motivation. We may not even be motivated to get out of bed in the morning, maybe even not wanting to put ourselves together or take a shower in the morning as well. So we definitely want to catch ourselves in the stress phase before it turns into burnout. You can get even more resources on burnout and stress versus burnout on our podcast, the Burnout Doctor Podcast. Thank you for listening to our monthly Mental Health Minute.
Now back to the show. So Dave and Jason, welcome to the Pharmacy Focus Student Edition Podcast. To get started, can you just introduce yourselves and give listeners an idea of what your podcast, Precept Responsibly, is about?
Sure. So we'll introduce both of ourselves separately. Dave Hughes. Currently, I am a field medical director with Pfizer. Previously, I was a clinical pharmacy specialist and manager at Boston Medical Center. I started pharmacy school upstate New York in Albany, went out to San Francisco for residency, and then transitioned into ambulatory oncology at Boston Medical Center and really got invested in precepting. I served as the residency program director for the PGY2 oncology program, and I've had about 6 years in the precepting world, although recently we transitioned a little bit into a new role, still actively involved in and try to be actively involved in the community and with our residency program as much as I can.
Yeah, and I'm Jason Mordino. I am the PGY1 residency program director at Boston Medical Center. I'm also the clinical coordinator for pharmacist education, which means I oversee a variety of postgraduate educational activities at Boston Medical Center. Like David, I did a PGY1, PGY2. My background is in trauma critical care. It's my primary practice site. I also sit as a board of director on the Massachusetts Society of Health System Pharmacists, and I am a founding member and leadership member at PharmGrad Wishlist. Lots of experience in precepting, some experience in kind of organizational management. Dave and I came from the same shop, worked together for quite a while. And, we founded Precept Responsibly, which is a podcast on precepting in the pharmacy profession, mostly because we saw a need, and it's an area that, we both have been passionate about for our careers. I've graduated 40 plus pharmacy residents across my career. I've taken an uncountable number of students, and, we thought that giving back to the pharmacy community and in sharing our experience plus bringing on guests would be a great way of doing that. Dave, do you want to dive a little bit deeper into Precept Responsibly, what our goals, mission, kind of, et cetera, are?
Yeah, I think it's actually a really funny story to think about how we actually originated. So Jason and I at one point got together essentially to write a short manuscript together. And we decided what other way to write a manuscript in a casual open environment than to go get a drink together after work and really try to hammer out a manuscript. And successfully, it was the fastest manuscript I think I can speak for both of us have ever gotten published. And it was turned around and everything to print in a matter of 5 weeks from day one of origination. So we joke around that, like, you know, it's meant to be casual, relaxing. Some people work better in a more casual, relaxed environment. And coupling that with like this thought process of, you know, not having a ton of guidance and preceptor development. Both of us are huge fans of podcasts. And when you think about content, it usually is clinically focused, a journal club, et cetera. And there really was an absence in, you know, preceptor development. Having both of us have the passion, we thought, well, what if we did a similar mentality of, you know, being in this casual, lax environment over a happy hour in a more casual, laid back setting, but still focused on core elements of preceptor development, a core fundamental that students, new preceptors, even the most seasoned preceptors should always be thinking of: how do you get better for your next generation of students, residents, et cetera. So introduce Precept Responsibly as a means to do exactly that, and is to take tidbits of digestible content that's not meant to be a 1 hour prolonged lecture with slides, but really more of a casual conversation, sharing some of our experiences and the pitfalls of from new precepting to advanced topics and dealing with, you know, learners that go through things like imposter syndrome or burnout or resiliency, and how you can, as a preceptor, best reflect and give back and create a more natural environment. And we decided our way was not the only way to do it. So we decided every episode we were going to bring in an expert from across the country, whether that be in an area of academic practice, community-based practice, industry practice. We thought there was a lot of experience we could share with one another, and us as co-hosts would really help facilitate these interactions and these experiences from a number of preceptors across the country to really hone in on key messaging. And that's really where we're at right now. We're very early in the year. But Jason, if you have anything else to add about the foundation principles of Precept Responsibly, again, we both do this casually and in a fun, relaxing setting, and tend to be very comical in our in our dialogue.
No, I mean, I think it's also like a great introduction to like preceptors and specialists across the country, because like while Dave and I do have a lot of experience, we also bring on a lot of guests. Actually, so far every episode has had a guest, and our hope is to continue that, because while we do have a lot of experience, there are a lot more experts out there. So you have an opportunity to meet some of those people and how they take to educating, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I'm one of those people. I learn so much better if it's casual, not like a formal thing. That's so helpful. So what do you mean by responsible precepting? Just the title of it, what is that?
That's good. I got to give props to our producer, Spencer Sutton, who was actually a PGY2 with Jason and I, an infectious disease at the time, where we were stemming this idea. And, you know, we were trying to blend the idea of how do we create a casual environment, but also like this theme of happy hour came up. And Spencer, being the creative, intellectual person he is, he came up with this title of Precept Responsibly, and like off the pun of, you know, drink responsibly, right? But I think there is a lot of meaning to it, right? And I think there's a lot of ways that preceptors can, I don't want to say have, you know, bad quote unquote precepting techniques, but but there's better ways to refine that and doing it in a, I don't know, quote unquote, responsible way, right? Like doing something to best suit your learner, reading the room, for lack of a better term, and being able to really think strategically about how you can be a more refined preceptor. Jason, I don't know if you want to add anything else, but in total transparency, that's really where the name came from.
Yeah, it definitely started as a joke, a play on words. And, we kind of built into it the idea that like we were going to take responsibility for educating people on precepting, and we want people to take responsibility in how they precept their learners. And it's not just like students, it's residents, it's fellows, it's, your younger pharmacists. Like everyone at some point has a mentor-mentee relationship. And we think that there's a lot of opportunity for things to go awry or for things to not necessarily work out in an optimal fashion. And so we want to give people those tools. And the idea behind this was that we were going to give people those tools to do it in a responsible fashion. And it really kind of melded nicely with the original kind of laid back idea behind our practice and our podcast.
Yeah. A lot of our listeners are either entering their first year of pharmacy school, they're very new to pharmacy school. So to kind of get back to really basics, what is a precept? What should they know when they're kind of figuring out who this person is in their pharmacy school experience?
Yeah, I'll probably take a slightly more like nuanced approach and just say like a preceptor is an experiential educator. They're not someone who's like paid to educate. They're the people who are practicing most times. They're the ones who are on the front line doing the day-to-day, and they need to teach you how to do that in a practice-based setting. It could be a CVS pharmacist. It could be, someone working in the hospital. It can be faculty. It's not just a frontline pharmacist, but they're really the people who are teaching you that, the experiential component. And I think one of the things I was shocked about coming right out of pharmacy school, going into my PGY1 residency, was I was expected to take an APPE student. So I'm like 11 months ahead of a student, and yet I'm the one expected to teach them. And I think, one of the things that pharmacy school curriculum lacks is how to be an effective teacher, how to be an effective leader, and how to do that in a practice-based environment. And I don't think it hurts for students to start thinking about that from an early age. Like, I guess I'll say from an early professional age, right? Like your P1, P2, P3, you're like, if teaching is a skill that you want to start to develop, it's very much like a muscle, and you got to start doing it early and practice often and start to build those skills, make mistakes and learn from them. And one of the things that we want to do is provide some understanding to students and to early professionals about some of the mistakes that we've made, how to fix them, how to avoid them, et cetera, in the future. But yeah, I think there's still value for students. Go ahead, Hughes.
I mean, just to add that, I mean, I can think back and remember my very first rotation. It was 2 weeks into my PGY1 at UC. And my first day, I was like, you're getting a student. He's about to graduate. He's going to be graduating. You need to take on a student. And it was like an eye-opening experience because, right, you just graduated and you're expected to, there's this misconception that, a preceptor needs to know everything. And be able to be that expert and to have all the answers. And it's quite the opposite. So I think having some of these experiences, sharing some of these experiences, make that a little bit more comforting as you transition even early on, and with the expectation that many of you will take students and learners very early in your profession.
So we've kind of talked around this the whole time, but why do you think this is such an important area or a topic that students should be actively thinking about?
Such a great question. And I think like one of the things that Jason and I have both focused on was how to really attract and get early listeners into this podcast, right? Like when you go into your first APPE, transitioning from your P3 or going into your P4 year, you've had a flavor or taste of what precepting is, maybe from an IPPE rotation, IPPE, whatever variation you call it now. You might have a little taste, but really your P4 year is really set to maximize your final clinical experience before you set out to residency, fellowship, and clinical practice, etc. And it's so important to understand the root of what is only a preceptor, but what do you need to get out of a preceptor, right? You know, a preceptor is sometimes commonly misconstrued with like a didactic professor at a pharmacy school, that they're just there to tell you information. But that's quite the opposite of I think, what a true preceptor is. And, you know, as you listen to some of our episodes and listen in, we plan on doing a 101 series to really hone in on the basics of what is precepting, what to get out of it, et cetera. But I think, you know, there is a huge need for students to understand that. And for those that are going straight into practice, or even for those going into residency or fellowship, you are no longer a student, and you are going to have APPEs or APPEs coming to you now. Even as a PGY1, the expectation is part of the ASHP learning objectives is to really be able to teach and get those experiences. So having some of the skill sets, starting to think about what makes a good preceptor, what are some things that seasoned preceptors did wrong that they learned from, what did they do right and kept. Those are things we really want to get to the early foundations of students, early residents, et cetera.
You know, one of the things that has been really challenging for like me as a professional is knowing what I want to do. And particularly as like a P1, P2, P3, like that's your chance to start thinking about like, how do I want to set up my career? And this might be just the introduction to like, what is experience-based education? It's not for everyone. And it doesn't mean that you have to be an experience-based educator when you go out. But if you're interested in the idea of what does that mean, like check out Precept Responsibly. I think it's a great kind of intro to that. And then as you think that this is what I want to do more, or I'm going to have to do this some more, then, you know, stick around, gain some skills.
Is there anything else you wanted to add to like the overall discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, from a very early state, like everyone has their own way of digesting information. I think we're getting more into the virtual platform where, you know, a lot of people are tired of just seeing traditional presentation, the traditional didactic format. And, you know, tuning in to podcasts, like, you know, overall, I think can be very helpful for students. And to get into that mindset early on will make you a more successful pharmacist and professional as you advance. And, you know, if you want to come with us for a short little session, 30 minutes, get to hear about a precepting, hear some bad dad jokes, have a casual drink on a weeknight, you know, come listen to us. I swear it'll be funny. It'll be entertaining. You'll learn something. And again, we're bringing a huge network in and different perspectives, whether it be from California, whether it be from Arizona, whether it be from the Northeast. So I think that's the other refreshing practice is, right, like pharmacy practice is quite different in different geographic areas of the country and quite frankly, the world. So I think it's really helpful to see and hear from different perspectives of what they view as precepting, what they view as, you know, their unique experiences, challenges, pitfalls, successes, et cetera.
Yeah, I think if you want to like laugh at really bad dad jokes, we've got those. We've got a lot of self-deprecating humor. We like to throw ourselves under the bus. So, you know, if that's your brand, by all means, please just come to listen to us make fun of each other and ourselves. You probably want to know also where to find us if that's something that you're interested in listening more from Dave and I. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, really anywhere you get any major podcast distributor. You can find Precept Responsibly. All you got to do is search for us, or you can find us on Instagram at Precept Responsibly, Twitter at Precept Response. Ironically, they did not have Responsibly as the full title because it's too long for Twitter, but you can also find us on LinkedIn, and shortly after our shows are posted, they're also posted to YouTube as videos. So come check us out. You know, we'll be posting episodes about once a month, sometimes a little bit more quickly, but for the most part, we'll be here once a month to teach you about precepting and anything you need to know.
Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus Student Edition. Tune in next month to hear more about the latest trends and issues for pharmacy students.